Our scripture reading is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th. And on the Christian calendar, Pentecost is the 50th day after Christ's resurrection, 10 days after Jesus' ascension. The Christian traditions surrounding Pentecost originate in Acts chapter 2, where the gathered disciples experienced the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when all the disciples were together in one place to pray, suddenly a sound came from heaven like a blowing of a violent wind, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. This event was a fulfillment of Christ's promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, the disciples received power from the Holy Spirit to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. The Christian world views this empowerment as the birth of the church. From the day of Pentecost in the first century till now, it is the Holy Spirit who has led the church by his gifts and power. Although today's churches have greater challenges now more than ever, the Holy Spirit is still actively working in the world through the men and women who have devoted their lives to the Lord. Just as there is a resemblance between the way you looked when you were born and the way you look now, there is a resemblance between the church of today and the church that was founded on the day of Pentecost. So today, we will look at the characteristics of the early church, which was a spirit-filled church, so that we may follow their examples. First, the early church was a united church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." The King James Version says, "They were all together with one accord." It means that they were like one mighty chorus all together. In other words, they were not only physically together, but also spiritually and emotionally together in unity. This is the most crucial point of the early church. The church is to be a place where God's people can come in and, in spite of all their differences, have a basic ground of unity. All our plans will come to nothing if we are not all together in one accord. As I look back at the restructuring of the church last year, the most exciting thing was that church members were all together in one accord. This is where I witness a huge potential for the growth of the church. Let us continue to pray for the unity of the centenary church constantly, so that we may experience the renewal of the church and become a spirit-filled church. Second, the early church was a praying church. Acts chapter 1 explains why the believers were united on that day. Just before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. About 120 disciples gathered together on the day of Pentecost and were praying fervently as Jesus told them to do. They had been praying together for 10 days, and it was out of that prayer meeting that unity came. Biblical scholars who study the great spiritual awakenings throughout the Christian history tell us that, without exception, all of them have been preceded by times of united prayer. I hope that Centenary Church will be a community of praying churches so that all members may experience an empowering of the Holy Spirit upon them as they are praying. Third, The early church was full of believers who experienced the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here the word them refers not just to the apostles, but to all the disciples who were there. Here is the secret of the power of the early church. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. At this time in Jerusalem, the Jews around the world came to the city to celebrate a feast. And they were amazed and surprised to hear the disciples' words in their local languages. But some people made fun of them, saying that they were drunk. Imagine a scene in which about 120 disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and went on their way to speak in different tongues. When the Holy Spirit works, we can communicate and harmonize with other languages, nations, and cultures. About 10 years ago, I went to China with a medical mission team. A mother with her teenage daughter came and asked to pray for her daughter, who, the mother said, could not hear well. So I put both of my hands on the girl's ears and prayed earnestly. Soon, the girl started crying with tears. I was amazed and asked her, "Did you hear my prayers?" Then the girl began to tell the story, saying that she could hear the sound because she never lost her hearing. The girl said that she was hurt and scared by her parents' frequent fights when she was very young. After that, the girl closed her mind and did not speak at all. So the family thought that she could not hear at all. However, during prayer, the Holy Spirit touched her heart and she began to weep and talk. The mother, who listened to her daughter, hugged her daughter and cried together. Whenever and wherever the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will recover and reopen the communication channel between family members, work colleagues, and church members. To understand the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it will be helpful to make a clear distinction between the signs and the event itself. The wind sound and the fire and the tongues were signs which pointed to an event. What was the event? The event was the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples as Jesus promised. The signs just to point to the event. If you focus only on the signs, you miss the whole point. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit that transformed Peter the denier into Peter the preacher. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit that took Thomas the doubter and turned him into Thomas the missionary. It was the coming of God's mighty Holy Spirit, which took those fearful, doubting, hesitant disciples and made them flaming evangelists for Jesus Christ. It was the work of the Holy Spirit coming into ordinary men and women who transformed them from ordinary men and women into evangelists for Jesus Christ. What about you and I? Please reflect on the first time when the Holy Spirit came upon you. How your life has been transformed. After the Holy Spirit came upon me strongly, I was transformed from a very quiet and passive person about evangelism into a passionate evangelist to preach the gospel. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, I was able to preach the gospel to many people at the time, and many of them came to believe in Jesus. It is sure evidence of Spirit-filled life if you have boldly witnessed the gospel in your daily life. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's a pattern you find repeated throughout the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit gives holy boldness so that God's people will take the word of God and speak it boldly to unbelieving people around them. The Holy Spirit is given to the church to empower it to preach the gospel. That's what the believers did in Acts chapter 2. And as a result, the early church had greatly grown to a few thousand members from 120 believers. Let me tell you an interesting story that is related to John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. One day, Wesley saw a vision of heaven when he was in deep prayer. Before Wesley entered heaven, he asked the angel who guarded the heaven gate, "I wonder how many of my friends who were working the Methodist movement together with me came to heaven." Then the angel replied, "There is no Methodist." Wesley was amazed and said, "Let me ask you one more question. How many Presbyterians came to heaven?" The answer was also no Presbyterians. Wesley was wondering if the Protestant movement had failed and asked, "How many Catholics have come in?" "There are no Catholics," the angel answered. Wesley said, "If so, who is going to heaven?" The answered, "It is not Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic or any denomination who believes in Jesus and was born of the Holy Spirit comes in." Beloved, have you received the Holy Spirit? Good. Then are you filled with the Holy Spirit now? Even if you received the Holy Spirit 20, 30 years ago, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit today, you must ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit right now. It is important to believe in Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. though it is as much as important to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Let us fervently pray for the renewal of our spiritual life during this difficult time and prepare together for an even stronger church when we resume in-person worship. O come, Holy Spirit, bless us, mold us, fill us, so that we may grow as the Spirit-filled church for the transformation of this challenging world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost 2,000 years ago and transformed the disciples to build a strong church, we need today to be filled with the same Holy Spirit in our daily life. Come to us, Holy Spirit, in the midst of our worship. Touch each soul with your presence wherever they are now. Grant your power and strength upon us so that we may boldly spread the gospel in the world, even during the pandemic. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of the harvest. Amen.